بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, بإذن الله تعالى we are on the series of خطب on عباد الرحمن, on the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And we are looking at the issue where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned their qualities. And in those qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are those who spend the night before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda and qiyam. I remind myself and you that the salah, the specific mention here is of tahajjud, but salah itself, whether it's tahajjud, whether it is the fard salah, whether it is any other nafil salah, the salah is supposed to produce an effect. Like anything, if you look at whatever we do in our life, there are only, if there is somebody who does something without the expectation of a result, whatever that result might be, the result might be material, it might be emotional, it might be philosophical, it might be of any kind, but every effort we make, we expect a result. And this is a sign of our own logic, our own understanding, our own intelligence. If somebody is doing something which has no worth, no value, what do you say to that person? Obviously, if somebody is doing something which has a negative effect, it's even worse. But I'm just saying, even if somebody is doing something which does not have a negative effect, but time is passing. For example, simple thing, if somebody is sitting and watching a cricket match for 4 hours, what does any logical, sensible, intelligent person say to that person who is watching the cricket match for 4 hours? What is the point of this? No? I mean, wouldn't you say that? Maybe you wouldn't, because a lot of cricket fans here. And that is how the point of it is, that somebody else is getting wealthy at your expense. You don't even realize that. If you played cricket, that is fine, because you are getting something out of it. Whether you win the match or you lose the match, you are running around, it's good for your health, circulation, so on and so forth, right? But if you are not playing the match, you are just sitting in front of a television and watching the match, then what does it say about your value for your time? So we are looking here at the issue of salah, and a question I ask myself and you is, what am I getting out of my salah? I'm supposed to get. What is the effect of that on my life, on the lives of others? The salah is not simply a mechanical exercise to finish with carelessness while we are thinking of everyone and everything other than the one before whom we are standing. This is our personal space, our personal time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu. Rabbul alameen, the creator and sustainer of the world. And alameen is really worlds, meaning the universe. It's not only this earth. This earth is less than a grain of sand on a beach. So what is the value of this earth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything we know and everything we don't know. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say Rabbul alameen, it's not the Rabb of this dunya. That is the one that we are addressing. That is the one that we are standing before. Al-Hayyul Ladhi La Yamut, the one who lives, the one who is Al-Hayyul Qayyum, who is established. Al-Ladhi La Yamut, the one to whom there is no death. Wal-Insu Wal-Jinnu Yamutun, and it's the insan and the jinn, the human beings and the jinn who die. Huwa Al-Awwal Wal-Akhir Wal-Zahir Wal-Batin, he is the one who is the first before whom there is nothing. He is the one who is the last after whom there is nothing. He is the one whose signs are visible. He is the one who is in the ghaib. And all of these statements we make from our limited understanding. It's not when we say Az-Zahir, we don't know what is Az-Zahir. When we say Al-Batin, we don't know the exact nature of Al-Batin. What is unperceivable for us and what is perceivable for us is Az-Zahir or Batin. He is the one who is Ar-Razzaq Udul Quwwatil Mateen. He is the one who is Ar-Razzaq. He is not just the Raziq, he is Ar-Razzaq. And he provides with his power and with his wisdom. He is the one whose treasures are unlimited. There is no boundary to his treasures. He is the one who can give to everyone whatever they want and it will not diminish from his treasures. In the Hadith Qudsi, Rasulullah ﷺ informed us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if all the jinn and all the insan, every single jinn and every single human being who was ever created and who will be created, including everyone at every level, all the good ones, all the bad ones, including all the Anbiya alayhimus salam, all the Rasuls, all the kings and queens, all the presidents and all the governors, and everybody, everyone, who ever lived and who will ever live until the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this existence. Rasulullah said, Allah said, if all of them gather together in one place and simultaneously ask me for every single desire of theirs, you're not talking about needs. We're talking about more than needs. We're talking about the desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if all of these get together in one place and ask me for every single desire of theirs simultaneously, I can give them all of that. And if I give them all of that, it will not diminish from my treasures even as much as the water that collects on the tip of a needle if you dip it in the ocean and remove it. Even that. Allah is not saying it removes that much. No, I say even that is too much. It does not decrease from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even to that extent. This is the one we are worshipping. We are not worshipping some concept or somebody or something that we have created. We are not worshipping a celestial body. We are not worshipping anything created. We are worshipping the creator of all of this. And as I always say, all that we know and all that we don't know. Because what we don't know is more than what we know. This is the one. So when we stand here before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you stand in your salah at home or wherever you pray, first and foremost important thing is to become aware of and get this sense of where I am standing. My brothers and sisters, the salah is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Al-Ibadur Rahman. After the first point, which was those who are not arrogant, who don't walk on the earth with arrogance, and when they are addressed by people who are arrogant, by people who are abusive, they simply say, Assalamu alaikum, and they go away. They don't engage with them. That's the first quality. The second quality which Allah mentioned is those who stand in the night before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sujjada wa qiyama, in sujood and in qiyam. So this is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We therefore need to examine the quality and improve that quality as we do with all other connections. Because if we want a response, then we need to improve the quality of the connection. Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond examples. We don't give the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Examples are only to illustrate what we want to say. And my submission to you here is that the quality of any connection or the quality of the communication depends on the strength of that connection. Whether it's on your phone, whether it's the internet or wherever, or even person to person. The quality of the communication is affected and is directly dependent on the strength of that connection. And so, if we want a response, we have to work on that connection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last ayat of Surah Al-Muzzammil, the 20th ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن ربك يعلم أنك تقوم عدنا من ثلثي الليل ونصفه وثلثه وطائفة من الذين معك والله يقدر الليل والنهار علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فقرؤوا ما تيسر من القرآن علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, verily your Rabb knows that you stand, and this is addressed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily your Rabb knows that you stand to pray in the night, a little less than 2/3 of the night, or half the night, or 1/3 of the night, and so do a party of those with you. This is the reward, this is the answer to Ubudiyyah. The reward of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be worshipped is that Allah became the witness in favor of the Sahaba. How do we know that the Sahaba used to stand in Salah? Because Allah told us. We don't need to rely on the evidence or witness of anyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba used to stand in Salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily your Rabb knows that you stand to pray a little less than 2/3 of the night, or half the night, or 1/3 of the night, and so do a party of those with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measures the day and the night. He knows that you are unable to pray for the whole night, so He turned to you in mercy. So recite of the Quran as much as may be easy for you. He knows that there will be some among you who are sick, others traveling through the land, seeking the bounty of Allah, yet others struggling in the path of Allah. So recite as much of the Quran as may be easy for you. Now imagine, Allah is saying, stand in the night and pray tahajjud when you have no problem, when you are sitting at home, do that. But if you are traveling and if you are struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are traveling in the land, you are engaged in any kind of activity, including struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did Allah say, in such conditions, you need not pray? No. He said, pray there also. And recite as much of the Quran as is possible. Now, think about this. Somebody asked, very, very surprisingly, somebody asked me this question. And the person who asked me the question was an alim. And the question he asked me, and I'm happy he asked me the question, because whatever was in his heart, at least, you know, he got to check that out. He said to me, in today's world, we have a life which is so complex and so stressful and so full of do this, do that, and so on and so forth, that even to do the 5 fard salawat is difficult. But we try to do that. Now you are saying also tahajjud. How is it possible? So I told him, if you are stuck in something, right? If you are working and everything is going smoothly, then you work at a certain pace and you make a certain level of effort. But if you get into difficulties, do you do more or less? I mean, this is a dumb question, right? If you get into difficulties, do you do more or less? When will you ask for the help of Allah? When you need it or you don't need it? Now you might say, technically speaking, I always need the help of Allah. All that is fine. I'm just saying that in very material terms, you are not going to say, I never need the help of Allah. We always need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But seriously speaking, when you are in some kind of trouble, when you are in some kind of a problem, there is sickness or whatever it is, that is when the person actually turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is where he really needs the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now link the two. The reason we even ask a question like this is because we don't understand what is the meaning of salah. Salah at best is a burden to be discharged. Finished. I was supposed to do, I did it, khalas, now don't ask me anymore. But if we see salah as a resource, which is what Allah told us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu sta'inu, O you who believe, take the help of as-sabri wa salah. When do you take help? When you need help. When you are in trouble, when there is some issue that you have to deal with. And Allah is saying, what must you do? Bisabri wa salah. Take the help, ista'inu. Take the help of sabr and salah. Sabr is to do the maximum effort that you can do, the best possible effort that we can do. Sabr is not simply to sit around and wait for something to happen. No. Sabr is to make the best effort that we can make. So we make the best effort that we can make was salah. And then ask Allah, because we know that our effort will not yield results unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that. So I make all the effort and then I stand before Allah and I say, Oh Allah, I have made the effort because you told me to make the effort. But I don't believe that this effort will do anything by itself. I need your help. I need your decree. I need you to decree and to order that this effort should be successful. So salah is a resource. Salah is a resource. It's like somebody walking around with a credit card without a spending limit, and he needs money. He needs, you know, at some point, and he's not using that credit card, and he's saying, "Oh, this is such a burden. You know, I have to carry this thing around. I have to look after it. I must take care of it." What will you say to him? You say, you don't know what you have in your pocket. Simple as that. You don't understand what you have in your pocket. This is what you are supposed to use. Now swipe the thing, man. Don't complain about the fact. How is it a burden? I mean, this is what you need. You have it in your hand. You are not using it. You are calling it a burden. I mean, what must anybody do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, especially when you need it, especially when you are in issues, in difficulties, or may not be a difficulty, but you know, you have aspirations, you have goals, you want a great career, and so on and so forth. Allah is saying, that is the time, use salah. So Allah says, and therefore, establish salah. Recite as much of the Quran as is easy for you to do, and then establish the salah. This established salah refers also to the 5 fard salawat, and give zakat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a beautiful term. يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ خَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Allah said, lend something to Allah. Lend to Allah a good loan. Now you might say, how do I lend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First of all, what is the meaning of lending? What is the difference between a loan and a gift? A loan, you get back. A gift is gone. Allah is saying loan. In Islam, we are not allowed to lend money on interest. But the general term, the general meaning of loan is what? That if I give 10, I get back 12, right? I'm not saying this is not halal for us, but I'm just saying that anyone, if he says, I have debts, what does it mean? It means that this person now has borrowed money and he's going to return. What he's going to return is going to be more than what he borrowed. So Allah is saying, give Allah a loan. This is the rahmah, this is the mercy This is a blessing of our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. What I have belongs to Him anyway. I belong to Him anyway. And if I give in His path, if I give to Him what already belongs to Him, Allah is saying, I will treat that as a loan and I will return this to you in a much better form. يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرَضًا حَسَنًا وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And whatever you send before you, you will find it with Allah in a much enhanced and much better form. عجيب ذا خضرة فالله سبحانه وتعالى. وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. And ask, make istighfar, ask for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily and truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving and most merciful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to have mercy on us. My brothers and sisters, truly those who taste the pleasure of tahajjud once, they don't need any convincing. They know the sweetness of talking to their Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu in the stillness of the night, when only He is awake to listen to them. They know what it means to be able to speak to the one from whom there are no secrets, to ask the one whose treasures have no boundaries, to thank the one to whom we owe every breath we take, every move we make, every action that has the potential to affect us, and to return to and make tawbah before the only one who has the power to forgive our sins. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that salah is the proof that the person has entered Islam. It is the physical manifestation by action of the faith of the Muslim who declares that he worships nobody except Allah. Once he has that faith, once he has made that declaration of faith, he demonstrates it by actually worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed and taught His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way we please. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that pleases Allah. This is the distinguishing feature of Islam. We worship Allah in a way that pleases Allah. And how do we know that? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught it to us and told us. So if one says that nobody is worthy of worship except Allah, la ilaha illallah, but then that person does not actually worship Allah, then how can he say that he has faith? Salah is the action which distinguishes and sets apart the believer from the one who does not believe. The believer worships Allah, the one who does not believe doesn't. It's as simple as that. The salah is the means for the Muslim to connect to his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. It is the highest and most powerful of means, the most potent tool that a believer has to invoke for anything that he needs in life. It is his charge of energy which gives him a special light and power all through his days in this life, and a light in his grave and deliverance in the Al-Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said, Ya ayyuhal muzzammilu, qumil layla illa qalila. He asked him to rise and pray and to draw energy for his work from his salah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand the value of salah, to appreciate it, and then to take the benefit from it. As I keep saying all the time, the key thing is for us to understand that this thing is for us. It doesn't matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether we worship Him or we don't worship Him. Allah is Huwa Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Huwa al-ghani. Allah is free from all wants. Allah is free from all needs, including the need to be worshipped. That is not Allah's need. That is not Allah's need. If the whole world and all the people that live in it and all the jinn who live in it decide to stop worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not decrease the glory and majesty of Allah by one iota. If all the human beings and all the jinn who live on this world simultaneously decide to accept Islam and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the level and quality of worship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every single one of them, it will not increase the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by one iota. It makes no difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference is made to us. If we improve the quality of our salah, it benefits us. If we improve the quality of our communication, it benefits us. And that is the point that I remind myself and you. Please focus on this and say, how can I improve the quality of my salah in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's why Allah said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And then the next ayat is what? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Verily the believers have succeeded. And who are the believers? The one whose salah has quality, who has khashiyat in his salah. Not only the one who prays. I mean, the one who prays is a boundary condition. If the person is not even praying, then we don't even know whether the person is a Muslim or not a Muslim, because the distinguishing boundary, Al-ahadu alladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah wa man aradaha faqad kafara. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the boundary between the Muslim and the non-Muslim is salah. And the one who leaves the salah, he has denied his faith. So we are not talking about boundary condition. We are talking about connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about worshipping the one we love the most. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The quality of the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who are the believers? He said, they are the ones who love Allah more than anybody else. Tell me, if you love somebody, do you obey them or you disobey them? If you love somebody, do you try to do good to them or you try to harm them? If you love somebody, do you try to irritate them or you try to please them? Which one? Yeah, today is my day for dumb questions. So how come when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we insist on disobeying Him, we insist on doing what He made haram, we insist on doing everything to irritate Him, and then we say, no, but you see, He is Ghafur Rahim, He'll forgive me. Nobody is denying that Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Nobody said that He is not Ghafur Rahim. Nobody said that He will not forgive you. Who is anyone to say whether Allah will forgive somebody else or not forgive somebody else? That is only with Allah Ta'ala. Allah can forgive anybody He wants without giving a reason to anybody. Allah does not have to justify His actions, justify His decisions to anybody. Nobody is going to argue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going with what the Quran tells us and what Rasulullah ﷺ told us. So let's not fool ourselves. Let's not use one standard for ourselves and then we use the opposite standard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only self-deception, fooling ourselves. Let's understand that we are believers, meaning that we love Allah more than anybody else, meaning that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla and nobody else, meaning that we change our lives in a way that reflects this love for Allah, meaning that there is nothing in my life where I deliberately disobey the one I love more than anybody or anything else. I'm not talking about mistakes, I'm not talking about forgetfulness. These will happen and we ask Allah to forgive us if that happens. I'm talking about knowingly doing something which we know to be wrong. And then cooking up some fancy, justification for it. Believe me, all of these justifications, they don't even cut any ice in this world. Forget about the akhirah. I mean, I don't know how you want to live in a world, in a fantasy world, where you believe that these things are going to work before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect you from that and give you good sense before you meet Him. These excuses and these justifications, they don't even work in this dunya. How are they going to work before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, every day we get news of somebody who met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one day somebody will give that news about us to the world. Let us open our eyes before our eyes are opened by Malakul Maut for us. Let us change ourselves before the door for change closes. The sign of the door for change, the sign of the doors of Tawbah closing is that despite disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your life continues to materially improve. You become wealthier and wealthier. You become more and more influential. You become more and more popular. This is not a sign of the rahmah and fadl of Allah. This is a sign that the azab of Allah has already started. The time to make tawbah, the door is closing. Read the ayat of Surah Al-An'am. This is not my fatwa. Allah mentioned this very clearly in Surah Al-An'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they increase and they exceed all boundaries of rebellion, what does Allah do? Does Allah immediately punish them? Does Allah catch them? No. Allah said, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah said, we open all doors on them. Of everything. You want wealth, you get wealth. You want popularity, you get popularity. You want influence and power and authority, you get that. You ask it, you will get it. Who will get it? The one who is not only just disobedient, the one who has exceeded all boundaries of rebellion. He's actually going to get more. And Allah says, Allah does this until the person is completely engrossed and involved in that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suddenly seizes him. Baghtatan. Fahum mublithun. And then they are broken in spirit. Because they did not even get time to make tawbah wal istighfar. Again, not my explanation. This is what Imam al-Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi said to somebody who asked him this question. They said to him, Ya Imam, we see. They said, you say that if you do good, Allah will give you good, and if you do evil, Allah will punish you. But that is not our experience in life. In life, we see that people who deliberately disobey Allah, who deliberately do evil, are getting wealthier and more powerful and so on. How do you explain that? Imam al-Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi recited this ayat of Surah Al-An'am, and he said that what you are seeing is not the rahmah and fadl of Allah. What you are seeing is the fact that the doors of tawbah and hidayat have closed on those people and the azab of Allah has already begun. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this, and believe me, just asking Allah is not going to help. If you want and I want to be saved from this, you and I have to take action first. We have to make istighfar, we have to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to remove and clean our life from everything which is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how small or big we may think it is. This is from shaitan. Shaitan has put it into our hearts and our minds that something, oh, it's a small thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa al-akbar. Allah is the greatest. And any disobedience of Allah is the greatest. There's no such thing as a small disobedience. Because disobedience is an issue of attitude. It's not the actual action that you are doing. It is the attitude that leads to the action. And what is that attitude? The attitude is exactly the same. It means Allah doesn't matter. The attitude is I don't care. The attitude is I am arrogant. And I am arrogant enough to decide what is small and what is big. And if it is something that displeases Allah, by my action I am saying cool off. Doesn't matter, you know, it's a small thing. Forget it. That's what my action is saying, believe me. So don't let anybody tell you the story, oh, but this is a small thing. The classification in the Sharia between Sagair and Kabair, between the small sins and the big sins, is for the purpose of jurisprudence. It is for the purpose of the criminal code. It is for the purpose of prescribing punishment to say the punishment of this thing is so much, the punishment of that thing is more. That is not for us to think about the disobedience of Allah as being insignificant.
Only somebody who does not care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does not believe in the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can believe that any disobedience of Allah is small and insignificant. And that's why I want to end with this, something which you have heard from me many times. I remind myself and you, just sit down and don't go to bed tonight unless you do this. Sit down and ask yourself only one question. And settle that question for yourself. Now, what's that question? Will I die and meet Allah? That's it. Nothing else. Forget everything else. Just one single question. Sit down and ask yourself this question and settle it for yourself once and for all tonight. Do not go to bed until you settle this question. Do this. Do a favor to yourself. Do the greatest favor to yourself. Believe me, you do this, one day before when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne, you will thank me. Settle this question for yourself. What's the question? Will I die and will I stand before Allah? If the answer is yes, I know, cognitively every single person here is going to say yes. Nobody will say I won't die. I'm not talking cognitively, I'm saying in your heart. In your heart. You don't have to answer anybody else, it's yourself. Will I die and will I meet Allah? If the answer to that is yes, then what must I do? Take my life, look at my life, look at my timetable, look at my priorities, look at my earning, look at my spending, look at my behavior, look at my akhlaq, look at how I treat people and so on and so on and so on. And bring all of that in alignment towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it, period. In that process, somebody is offended, somebody likes, somebody dislikes. None of that matters, because that somebody is not going into your grave with you. That somebody is not going to stand next to you on the day of judgment before the throne of Allah. You stand alone, I stand alone. So straighten your life. If the answer to the question, will I die and meet Allah? If the answer to that question is yes, then we need to straighten up our lives. What each one of us needs to do, we know better than anybody else. If the answer to the question is no, I will not die and I will not meet Allah, or even if I die, I will not meet Allah. If that is the answer, then do whatever you like. Do whatever you like. Absolutely no problem from my side. It doesn't matter to me. Because reality is that which does not depend on belief for its existence. Reality is real. Whether we believe it or we don't believe it makes no difference. What is real is real. Reality is that which does not depend on belief for its existence. If I say I will not meet Allah, I will still meet Allah. And if I say I will meet Allah, I will still meet Allah. What's the difference? The difference is that if I accept the reality, then I will prepare for it. If I don't accept the reality, then I will continue to live my life in a way which is counterproductive. And then when that reality happens, and that reality will happen, there is no doubt about this, that reality will happen, then I will be stuck. Because the time for action is now here, not somewhere else, and not at some other time. So please do this. Karenge bhai? Yes or no? Inshallah. This inshallah meaning what? I was looking at on YouTube there is a program, Learning Arabic, and this lady who teaches, and she says there are several ways of saying no in Arabic. Huh? So she said one is la. He said second one is inshallah. Seriously, I'll send you the link if you want. Huh? So which one is this? Huh? This is inshallah meaning no or inshallah? Yes, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. We ask Allah to help you in ways that you cannot imagine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all forms of evil, whether you know it or you don't know it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to cure you if you are sick and to help you in every single way, in every need of yours, that which you know and that which you don't know. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you when you meet him, inshallah al-musta'an, we ask Allah to make that the best day of your life when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we love the most, and to please him, we lived our lives, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين